Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
Because it takes a lot of mental energy to run a business, so I try to fill that with positive messages. So I really find happiness in being around the people I love, creating memories, having the freedom to do so. The genie show, oh, our lonely days are gone. It's magic, I know. I think it will be fun. Come on, hello. Like we knew all along. It's time to party. The genie show, oh, oh. My next guest is someone I consider somewhat of a kindred spirit. She calls herself a gold star student of the sink or swim mentality, which I can relate to because I call it the stumbling effect. I stumble my way through life, but hey, it keeps me moving forward, as does sink or swimming. You somehow find your way up at the top if you just keep those feet going. Wendy Schultz, welcome to the Ginny Show.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Wendy, I actually love reading your bio because it talked about how you, I could kind of relate to it. And this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because I went through quite a similar experience where, you know, I spent through a couple of years of unhappiness in the corporate world, not corporate America, corporate Australia. Didn't quite like my 9-to-5 job. I was burnt out. I was drained. And now I get to create a life, what I love doing the most, which is producing podcasts. So I'm curious to know, I know this probably seems like eons away for you, but talk to me about that time when you were working in corporate America. Talk to me about, you know, what would happen as soon as you wake up to when you'd come home. How would you feel? What would you go through? Take me on a trip with you during that time.
So I didn't start out hating corporate America. I actually really loved, I started out in a job that I really wasn't a good fit for. It was like 100 phone calls a day, cold calls. So right. I had started out in sales, and that really just made me miserable. And I actually ended up taking a few other jobs and finally found a job I really enjoyed, and that was in healthcare. And I really thought I was going to retire from that. I thought it was just a fun thing for me because I got to move our organization forward, and my boss was amazing. He really gave me a lot of autonomy to be able to make decisions, and he really trusted what I had to say. Over time, though, the world of healthcare really changed, and it became more and more difficult to continue to operate under the same conditions, and everything was changing so fast. So I ended up really burned out after a while. So what my, you know, it would be like get up in the morning and, you know, the dread of not wanting to go. I would get ready and I would be to work by 7, barely see my daughters. I have 2 daughters and I hardly ever see them at that time. Work, 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 work. Seriously, meeting after meeting after meeting. I wouldn't even have time to go from one meeting to another meeting because they were different buildings. So I was always late. Didn't get much time to eat lunch. Didn't really get much time at all to myself or to even be able to take from those meetings the action items I needed to take. I didn't even have time to do them because I was constantly in meetings. So after a while, and then I'd be working pretty late, come home, barely see my kids, get them to bed, you know, dinner, bed, and then back on the computer. And it was over and over and over again. There was a lot of cultural change happening in the job I was in, and it became a lot more dog-eat-dog, if you will. There was a lot more infighting, and it just was really, really challenging for me. So then I was starting to have panic attacks, and I was having a lot of health issues, and I would be sitting in my office, literally just like having a panic attack. So I said, okay, enough is enough. And I decided that I needed just a couple of weeks to decide if I was going to continue on in the role I was in, which was a pretty high level role. And then I got to on vacation, and within the first few days, I had a phone call from my boss that my very close friend and also someone who reported to me, she was a manager,
had embezzled a bunch of money from the corporation. So, and was the straw that broke the camel's back. I knew I had to get out. I couldn't do it anymore. You know, it still took another 5 months for me to make the big decision. And I couldn't do it anymore. I got to the point where it's like, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how much money I have to, you know, pay cut I have to make. I just had to be out. And that was really the catalyst to getting me to not only start my business, but to make the big leap out of corporate.
You know, it's interesting when you say this story to me, Wendy, because there's so many things that you went through in that situation. You know, someone that you considered a friend embezzled money, which would have been a shocking thing for you to have to go through. And then it kind of catapulted you to make some serious choices as to how you were to move forward. I'm curious to know, like, obviously things have changed over time and we'll get to where you are at now mentally and what you do for a living and that kind of thing. I found for me when I was in the space of working for a corporate company where I wasn't intentional or purposeful with my choices or my gratitude or whatever, you know, things that I've developed today, I found that I was the kind of person, Oprah has this quote, you know, listen to the whisper before it becomes a scream. Yeah. I was the kind of person where, you know, I'd get whispered at with the little signs from the universe, but when it was a scream, that's when I'd be like, oh, I better do something. Did you find that that was the case for you going through that experience?
I didn't need the scream. I needed the plank on it, like hit upside the head. Because that's what I would say was the moment that with my friend embezzling, I would say the screams were the anxiety attacks and the health issues and, you know, the not wanting to go to work. But no, I had to go further than that. I needed the actual slap upside the head that finally made me move. And I can't say that I'm perfect at listening to the whispers, but I am getting a lot better at it.
Yeah, back at you. I think I'm getting a lot better at it too. But, you know, the odd occasion I do get yelled at by the universe, which is cool. it's all out of love and all in my best interest. So this is very interesting that you went from this place and you've made these decisions. You've now kind of embarked upon a life that seems to be a little bit more freeing. You know, you've got a successful business called The Simple Life Hospitality. So how did you kind of find yourself doing what you do now? Talk me through how, you know, overcoming the shock of your friend embezzling money to creating this lucrative business for yourself. Tell me how you kind of got to that part.
Well, it was not the straight route. It was very windy road, lots of ups and downs. But the way it started was I had decided that I wanted to start my own business. I really wasn't sure what it was going to be. So I had encountered a company that built a website for me in a retail store online and helped teach me how to run a retail store online. Did that for a little while and realized it really wasn't panning out the way I'd hoped. So I thought, where are there areas of opportunity? So I ended up going to a resort town because what I started, the retail store was a vacation home decor type stuff, you know, like beach house decor and cabin decor and things like that. So I thought, okay, well, why don't I put myself into an environment where I'm going to have more exposure? And so I ended up opening a brick and mortar store in a tourist area here in Wisconsin, USA. And so I ended up working for that for a while. And then I decided I needed to, because we lived an hour and 20 minutes away, I didn't want to be driving back and forth every single day. So I ended up buying a vacation property. And the vacation property was a rental also. So we ended up deciding that rather than miss out on $250 a night, we would just decide to, you know, we would just drive back and forth and forget the whole plan of us staying there. So we didn't need to drive back and forth. So I ended up having really good success with renting it. And then we had purchased a second property for the same, that we were going to stay in that one instead of driving back and forth. Well, again, we couldn't give up on the revenue that we were receiving, so we ended up driving back and forth. But what happened was people started coming into my store. I had gotten a lot of good networking just having that brick and mortar store. So I'm going to say that even though it wasn't the most straight path, it was a huge part of the journey because I met so many clients that way. So they kept coming into my store and they said, hey, I heard you're doing really well with your rentals. Would you consider renting out my property for me? And so that's really where it started, where we started doing vacation rental property management. We then decided to close the store and go full bore into vacation rentals. And now we've got properties in Florida near Disney World, properties that we also manage for other owners all throughout Wisconsin. And we're looking to expand throughout the country eventually. But on top of that, we also started doing some design work. I had done some hotel remodeling during that process. I had, you know, done furnishings and things like that. So it was a really crazy path. But now that we've gotten to where we are, I can now go back and see, okay, now I understand this entire path, although it didn't seem to be at all. It was aligned, but it just not what I thought it would be, right? You know, I'm not where I thought it would be, and it's exactly where I need to be. The Genie Show, oh, our lonely days are
gone. The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.
The Genie Show. Obviously, a huge chunk of your business is customer service. I'm curious to know, too, like, in your life so far up until this date, what are some poor examples of customer service that you've experienced and what have you learned from them? And I ask this question because obviously moving to New York from Australia, I noticed different, you know, we obviously speak a whole different English in Australia than they do here in America. Some people don't understand what we're saying, but even certain sayings, you know, in Australia that may be construed as rude, but it's just how it is here, or vice versa. You know, what we say in Australia may be considered weird here. So I'm curious to know, like, obviously hospitality, there's that huge element of customer service. So talk to me about a poor experience that you've received and how you've kind of applied that or learned from it to apply it to your kind of life, really.
Well, the reason that we got into property management in the first place was because we had such bad experiences with the property management company that we had for our own property. So we've actually had 3 property managers, maybe even 4. It's simple things. I think people really want simple things. They want, you know, consistency. They want to have integrity. They want transparency. You want to call back when someone calls you. And also kindness and generosity. So we've had experiences with, we have a property that's near Disney World. And unfortunately, we can't manage it because there is a national brand attached to it. And so we're not allowed to manage that property. So I'm going to share an experience that happened to a guest of ours because I booked this guest into our property. But again, we can't manage it. Mm. So when they arrived, we're not able to service that. So what happened was she got to our property and nobody could help her at the front desk. They couldn't find the person that needed to help her to check her in. Then they couldn't get her to the property to even tell her how to get to the place. Then she got in there and there was some issues with the cable and hot water. So she called the desk and they said they couldn't help her. Then something happened. I had told them that we were going to put these people in there. And long story short, they ended up kicking them out of the hotel, or their house, out of our house.
Oh,
and
wow.
that is so not acceptable. And it was really embarrassing, quite frankly, to us and to our company. And I thankfully she's a friend of mine, so I was able to apologize profusely. And she now sees the humor in it, and I do too. But I mean, it was just one thing after another. And again, it was that no one serviced her. No one like helped her along the path at all. You know, everyone just kind of pushed it off to somebody else. This is somebody else's problem. This is somebody else. And here she was on a vacation to Disney and couldn't even get into the room. It's just ridiculous. So there was a lot of other things that happened with it. And I just think that when I recognize those things, I really strive to help our guests feel like you know, when you've got a vacation property, people are investing a lot of money to go on a vacation. That not only that, they've invested time to go on vacation, and they've also something they're excited about. This is supposed to be where they relax. So if they are not used to get checked in, they don't know where to go, they get in there and there's some problems with the property, that's really stressful. You know, we try as best we can to eliminate any sources of potential stress and help also to manage our expectations. And we've got some properties that are a little more rustic, so we will let them know this is what you can expect, so that when they're going and booking this property, they know to expect a rustic place rather than the big, not a brand new place. And it's just a matter of managing their expectations of like, hey, you know, you might encounter this or that. And we have had very, 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 very few bad reviews come back on our properties because we do give them as much information as possible.
It's amazing too that you talked me through that story, because obviously there were a lot of things that you learned along the way and that you applied. Going into your own business and having this vision and executing it, I feel that you need to have a different set of discipline than you would working a 9-to-5 job that's already kind of laid out for you in your routine. You kind of have to really figure it out on your own. So I'm curious, Wendy, what are your morning rituals and routines that you have daily to get you started off for the day?
I would like to say that I'm really ritualistic. Is that the right word? Really regimented. I am not. I'm so like lax about everything. But I do, in the morning, I get up before everyone else does, but I don't set an alarm clock. I want to sleep in as long as my body needs. So I do sleep in. But again, I'm still getting up early, like, you know, 6:30 a.m. So I'm able to have a couple cups of coffee before my kids get up, and also be able to, I like to listen to podcasts. I like to read positive messages, watch positive videos on YouTube. So I'm really starting my day off with some positive messages. I've done a lot of eliminating. I unfollow a lot of people that are negative, even though we may not know I've unfollowed them, but I try to really conserve my energy, because it takes a lot of mental energy to run a business. So I try to fill that with positive messages. And in the morning, when I have an opportunity to do that, that's when I like to get that as a fresh start in the morning.
Fantastic. So it seems like your morning rituals include of, you know, sleeping as much as you need to sleep, coffee, clearly, positivity through, you know, podcasts or education. And I think that's such a powerful thing, surrounding yourself with that positivity in the morning, because it really does set the tone for your day and, you know, kind of does propel you forward. I'm also curious to know, Wendy, now this is a loaded question, so take your time to answer it, and there's no right answer for this, but what is your definition of happiness?
My definition of happiness is really, it's freedom to do what I want, when I want, and with whom I want. I find happiness in being able to, if I want to go out to lunch with a friend in the middle of the day, I can go. If I want to take my kids to Disney World on a Wednesday, we can go. It's really filling the day with things that I want to do, and then either eliminating things that may not be stuff I like to do, outsource it, or eliminate it. So I really find happiness in being around the people I love, creating memories, having the freedom to do so.
Wow. So a lot of your happiness, the way that you define it, is through freedom. And I 100% agree with you too. I love the freedom of choice that, you know, sometimes we take for granted, but the fact that we can literally create a day into whatever we wish it to be is just magical. I think sometimes more magical than Disneyland, which is very hard to come by. Wendy, I'm curious to know too, do you have trouble saying no to people?
I am getting much better at it. I used to have a lot more FOMO, if you're familiar with the term, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So I would say yes to things I didn't necessarily want to do because I was afraid I was going to miss out on something. I'm also a recovering people pleaser. So I try to.
I love that. Love how you say
that. I want to help everybody. But I also recognize that by helping everybody, then I'm not really best serving the people that I should be serving. So I scatter myself too thinly or dilute my power. And in helping everybody, I'm really helping nobody. Well, So yeah. I have gotten a lot better at saying no, identifying ideal clients, and then not trying to convince somebody who may not be a good fit that we can, you know, we can do it. We can do it. It's a process, because that's just my nature. It's like, yeah, we can do it. We can do everything. And then I'm like, why the hell did I do that?
So, no.
I've gotten myself into some sticky situations that way. But then going back to FOMO, it's something where I have really good friends that they'll go out for, you know, they can go out for drinks or something, and they're like, you want to come over? And sometimes I just don't feel like it. And it's not anything to do with them. I just want to be alone, or I just want to recover. And I used to say yes all the time, because I was afraid that if I said no, people wouldn't invite me anymore. And now I feel secure enough in myself and in the relationship that they're not going to think any less of me, and that they also have to say no at times too. And that's totally fine. It's just a process, and you have to learn to set some boundaries, because with a business, it takes a ton of mental energy and physical energy, and you have to really start to prioritize what it is you're spending your time on and energy on. Another big one I see a lot of is people wanting to go to lunch or coffee with me, which I love, and I'm so honored that they think of me as a mentor. But I also have to start channeling that energy too, that anytime I spend time outside of my business, it takes energy, and also it takes away from my business. So I have to be really disciplined with my time and spending it with things that move the needle forward.
Wendy, you've given us such value in this conversation. I kind of want to wrap up with, what is the best advice someone's given you, and tell me how that applied to your life?
Gosh, there's so much. But one of the best things that I don't even remember who told me to do this. It's been something I've done for several years though. But when you're in a tough spot, go back and look at your history of other times that you were in a tough spot and you thought the world was going to end and that this would never end. And just, you know, look at how you feel about it now. Look how much stronger you are. Look at now, it just doesn't even seem like a big deal. But at the time, it was a huge deal. So when I'm dealing with some tough things, I try to go back and be like, okay, yeah, that was really tough back then. I thought I was never going to get through it. And here I am. And look at all the lessons I learned along the way. So I tried to use my history to help me get through the tough spots and also learn, take those lessons from there. And also to stop to listen, look at the lessons that I can learn from what I'm going through right now. And I'm going through some tough stuff. There's some transition going on in my business. And, you know, you get this like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'll be fine. Sometimes I think that the best stories come from the hardest things that I have gone through. I mean, I've gone, like, at the story of the embezzlement with my friend. That sucked. It was awful.
Absolutely.
It's part of my story, and it's part of the journey. And I feel like I can help other people based on the stuff that I've gone through and the lessons I've learned from it.
Fantastic. Well, Wendy, I love that whole kind of concept of, you know, using your history to kind of educate and put perspective into the present. That's fantastic advice. Whoever gave it to you, I'm grateful that you've just passed that on to me as well. I guess in summary, Wendy, like, how can the good people of the Ginny Show contact you or get in touch with you on the World Wide Web?
I'm on Facebook. I actually have a couple sites. I have Your Permanent Vacation. You can go look at Permanent Vacation. You can also go to simplelife.com. That's where we have our properties that you can rent. And if you are interested in getting started in Airbnb-ing and vacation rentals, we do offer some consultations, services, and training on how to get started in that. So, and that's simplelife.com.
Fantastic. Well, Wendy Schultz, thank you so much for joining us on The Ginny Show and giving up your time today. It's been a pleasure chatting to you. And thank you for sharing all your gems of wisdom that will pave a pathway to happiness. Thank you so much. The Ginny Show. Oh.